Depending on your perspective, a disaster can be considered a tragic end or a new beginning, ushering in an era of change and new developments. In January 1907, Jamaica experienced a terrible tragedy, which caused widespread devastation and loss of life. That event, however, was the spark that led to the whole-scale redevelopment of Kingston and laid the foundation for the city as we know it today. Listen as we chart the progression of Kingston's transformation after that seminal moment in Jamaican history. It is January 14, 1907, a typical day in Kingston, Jamaica. It is warm and sunny, with the occasional breeze. People are up and about, moving from building to building in the island's busy commercial district, carrying out all manner of transactions. Suddenly, there is a low rumbling. The rumbling gathers momentum. Buildings begin to shake and windows break. Screams permeate the air. Telegraph poles sway like leaves in the wind, and the great structures, whether made of iron, wood, or stone, begin tumbling down.
Earthquake!
The first quake, registering a 6.5 on the Richter scale, flattened virtually every building in Kingston and generated a plume of smoke sky high. Each aftershock ensured that the devastation spread further and further. Hundreds of people were smothered beneath huge piles of brick and timber. Huge fires broke out across the city, adding another layer of terror to an already desperate situation. The fires would last for 4 days. At the end of it all, the death toll was estimated to be as much as 1,000 people.
The cause of collapse of many buildings was in fact the fact that there were being of brick, which was not reinforced, and in which there was very poor amount of use of binder brick. The timber sections of the building burned very rapidly once the fire started, and most of what we know now as downtown Kingston burned to the ground, including the people who were trapped inside of those buildings.
Former director of the Office of Disaster Preparedness and Emergency Management, Franklin McDonald. The effects of the earthquake were felt as far away as Portland and St. Mary, but the lion's share of the damage occurred in Kingston. The task of rebuilding the city would be Herculean, starting virtually from scratch. But it provided a clean slate from which the leaders of the day could rebuild. They resolved to make their capital city stronger, more resilient, and more beautiful.
Much of Kingston as we know it today was redesigned and rebuilt after earthquake.
Kingston was largely rebuilt with new codes or new ideas as to what type of structure would best withstand the earthquake shock. Cement mortar was introduced to rebuild brick-type structures. Subsequently, concrete blocks and steel, as we know it today, has become the traditional building material.
Former director of the Office of Disaster Preparedness and Emergency Management, Franklin McDonald. In May 1907, Governor Olivier began a tenure that lasted until 1913. Under his watch, a new city rose from the ruins. The main public buildings on King Street and the public gardens, as well as several new roads, were built along the existing grid system, laying the foundation for the downtown Kingston we know today. Immediately after the earthquake, buildings were restricted to a height of less than 60 feet within the central business district. Though this regulation was eventually disregarded, a considerable amount of the buildings are still below 60 feet. There are, however, buildings which were built in truly grandiose fashion, as if made to outdo their predecessors. Nowhere is this more evident than in the construction of the major places of worship, such as the Scots Kirk Church, Kingston Parish Church, the Holy Trinity Cathedral, and Coke Methodist Chapel. Seeking to recover and rebuild, people gradually moved out of the old city and into the lands on its borders, laying the foundation of much of what is known today as residential Kingston and St. Andrew. The entire Allegheny Plain was built on during 1907 to 1957.
Kingston had been the capital, where St. Andrew was still largely cattle pens and very, very remote. In fact, even Crossroads was not a significant township until after this catastrophe. There would have been a movement northwards following the earthquake.
Professor Emeritus of History at the University of the West Indies, Patrick Bryan. Our country has come a long way and continues to grow. May we never forget our past as we continue to move forward.
The
This has been a production of the Jamaica Information Service.